Hey everybody. Connie is getting settled in. She left her phone with Christy. She had dinner with our friend Christy, and Christy texted me and said, "Uh-oh, better tell Connie when you talk to her that she left her phone here." So that's she's
Oh.
hey. I was just telling
Sorry, everybody.
them.
I'm a little rattled to this evening. I'll try and settle down and be a decent teacher, but we may be relying on Jacqueline tonight. I don't know.
Uh-oh, now you're in trouble.
Now we're in trouble.
Yeah, so we have Ken here and Marge, and I don't know if it's Felipe or Philip are in the room with us.
Hey guys.
Philip, yes, okay. Hey, Philip. Of course, we have all our friends out in Radio Land.
Yes, and there's lots and lots of them out there. So they already told me they were out there.
That's really cool. So, hello, everybody. Yeah. So, let's settle in with a prayer, and I will, Connie, I will offer the prayer.
You better. That's why I settled down.
So, yeah. So just, I just want to offer offer gratitude for this opportunity to share, and truly, and we say this often, to teach what I would learn, or maybe it's better said to learn what I would teach. But it really does feel like an opportunity, and it's and I'm very aware of the grace that allows us to do this, and I'm thankful for that. I would invite Holy Spirit inner wisdom to speak through us, so that we can all hear what we need to hear. Amen.
Amen.
I'm seeing Connie in silhouette, but don't worry about it, Connie. I'll just look at you in silhouette.
Well, you're a little blurry yourself.
Oh, it's not me. I'm perfect. There she is. Still in silhouette, but it's good. Nice to see you, Connie.
You too, Jacqueline. I missed you. I
I've
heard your
missed
class from
you.
last week. It was really good.
Oh, good.
Yes, I think you're down with it when I'm not here, so.
No. In fact, somebody wrote a comment this week that said how they enjoyed the sisterly laughter and connection, or something like that. And yeah, it's much appreciated. So,
Well, good.
yeah.
Good. I enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, me too. So here
Where are we, Jacqueline?
we are, right now let's do a mic check. Are you all hearing us okay? Is Connie too loud or too low? Or, it's hard for me to tell on my end. Yes, Marge says we're hearing each other. Okay, all right, good. Where we are is on page 410 of the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. Page 410. NTI Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just get with it. Jesus is the symbol of light for you because he seemed to give his life and yet he did not die. This is the symbol that you may give up your self-will, and yet you will not die. In this symbol, you see that you may give up your dream and your belief in any seemingly separate and individual will, and yet you will not die. In the giving up, you shall be raised up to heaven. This is the true understanding of the perception of Jesus' resurrection.
Well, that paragraph had a little bit to say, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, it's like, and we're going to talk about this, of course, in reviewing gentle healing tonight, because that's what this is about. It's when you remove all that judgment, when you remove all that believing attention that you give to thought. What's naturally left is the truth of you. So, because this has been your best buddy for your whole life, what should I do now? What mental chatter? What would you have me do now? Because that's been your go-to guy or girl your whole life. You're like, I can't give that up. If I give that up, I'll suffer. If I give up that up, I'll die. I can't live without that. And so Jesus, just the symbol of Jesus, putting aside whether there was an actual Jesus man that walked the earth or not, right? Just that symbol is no. It's a metaphor even for this ability to give up everything that you thought was important. To give up what you thought was life. And yet you don't die. In fact, you're resurrected. You're lifted up to heaven through that giving up.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, because that's what we cling to. Years ago, of course, miracles told us we were going to give up every value, and I said,
Heard you crying about letting them go this weekend. Was a relief, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it always is, and it always is, and it's never what we
It
think it is.
always is. And you're right about that. And I guess we don't know the burden of it until we start giving it up.
Yeah, we don't. And our belief in something other than the peace of God, the grace of God, the joy of life, is the block to experiencing the peace of God, the joy of God, whatever it was, those things that I said, right? The peace of
Yeah,
life, the peace of
happiness and
God.
love and
Yeah,
all that,
yeah.
all those coveted things.
Yeah, well, in fact, Anne and I were talking earlier this evening about, when I went to that enlightenment intensive soon after Dad passed, which has been nearly a year now, and was really looking at the sadness of that, I was absolutely shocked to see that underneath that sadness was joy. It was the joy of life. It was the joy of having had Dad in my life for 56 years, for the joy of every moment we'd ever shared. That just so the sadness was just what I was telling myself, was just the story that I was telling myself, the thoughts that I was giving believing attention to. And what was underneath that was this appreciation for life itself, this joy of life itself.
And how did you get to that? Did you have to do one of those inquiries to see that, or?
Well, and the whole dyad thing or enlightenment intensive is a method of doing that. You're just looking at what's coming up, saying what's coming up, and then looking underneath that. In the end, all of these methods come to the same place. Is it true? Are you experiencing sadness? And it's like,
Right.
wow, no. I mean, when I think about Dad, experience just this appreciation for life, this joy. It's
Yeah, and I suppose that part of it is that we think that we're supposed to be in the sadness,
yeah.
and then when you look under it, you realize all the love and the joy that you had in that experience with that great man.
Yeah, exactly, with that great man. Absolutely, absolutely, and such appreciation for that. I'm there's a line in the course somewhere that talks about, the only thing that will remain is the love. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's sweet.
That is sweet. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate you having that experience. And maybe I'll look at that too, because I'd like to see that in that light.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Connie. All right. Verse 15. We've read a paragraph. Let's read another one.
Oh, it's only a half and a half hour.
here we go. For this reason, Jesus has been selected as a symbol by the Holy Spirit. It is that his story may be used to continually teach you who you are until you have the need for stories no more.
Stories no more. That's Byron Katie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's your story?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Who would you be without your story?
Right. Stories of the world are helpful, but only to the extent that the stories are understood to be dreams. To pass from this world to the awakening, the mind of Jesus, that's in quotes, the mind of Jesus released faith in the stories of the dream. In this release, the idea of Jesus died.
Well, I got lost in that.
Well, it's saying that he had to give up the idea of Jesus in order to become the Christ, right? Again, it's what we're looking at in general healing. It's this idea that you have to remove believing attention to the stories you tell yourself about yourself. You have to remove your believing attention from those stories in order to experience what those stories are hiding. What's beyond
the
story?
Are you saying believing attention?
Believing attention. Believing attention.
Attention.
Yes. Believing attention. You know, that's how we create the world that we live in, is through giving believing attention to thoughts. You know, we've talked about the loop of experience that Regina talks about, right?
Giving attention to things keeps them alive. So I guess that's where the believing attention comes from.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, the mind goes, oh, you know what, you better protect yourself from blah, blah, blah. And so you go, okay, I'll do that. Or, you know, she slighted you when she said that. Okay, all right, I see she did. I won't let her talk to me like that in the future. Or, you know, whatever those thoughts are, that mental chatter is, we give our attention to it. And in that way, we keep alive the idea that we're an individual. That we're not just life living. That we're not just consciousness being.
Right.
You know, that we have that I have an agenda that could be different from your agenda, right? That I have interests that could be separate from your interests. And it was it was all these ideas about, you know, I'm a poor carpenter born into a poor carpenter's home, and I can never have any. I mean, I don't know what the stories might have been, whatever stories Jesus had about Jesus. I like that woman over there, and I'm gonna marry her one day. I mean, I don't know, right? But we all have these stories that we tell about ourselves as individuals. And this is, and again, to pass from this world to the awakening, the mind of Jesus released faith in the stories of the dream. In this release, the idea of Jesus died. You know, the stories might have been, hey, I'm a body and I don't want to be crucified, right?
That would have been one of mine.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I've been listening to Adi Ashanti's book, Resurrecting Jesus, that talks about, you know, his final words, the words that are reported as his final words, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me, you know, being the last being the giving up, the final giving up of the ego. It's the ego that's going, hey, here I was in this nice body. You let me die on the cross, right? And that's what and which is interesting. I really appreciate that interpretation of those words because those words have always thrown me. But we talk about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, going, look, I know how this script is supposed to play out, but if there's any way we can do this without me dying on the cross at the end, that would be my preference. Please take this cup from me, right? Yeah. So, he let go of those ideas that he needed to be in a body to be okay. let me read the next paragraph. The idea of Jesus died, but the symbol of his story continues within the dream because it is helpful to you to awaken from the dream. The idea of Jesus says that you surely will not die. And this is a statement of truth that lives beyond the idea of your dream. Be impossible. Life is, right? It's like when Ramana was dying, they're like, oh, Ramana, we're very upset you're leaving us. And he's like, where would I go? Life is.
I hadn't quite wrapped my head around that, but I know that it's been said by the teachers that the point was missed with the crucifixion, that kind of misses the point that the real point was the resurrection. And it's proof that we don't I've really got some feedback.
Oh, I turned that so they could better hear you, but I'll turn it away from you. The microphone away from you. Okay. Yeah, I think you make a good point.
Yeah, this is a great statement. The idea of Jesus says that you surely will not die.
Yeah, and this is a statement of truth.
Yeah, that lives beyond the idea of your dream, lives beyond the idea of this small concept of conning and personality of conning. Okay, cool beans.
Okay. The symbol of Jesus is a symbol of everything that is true for you. This is important for you to accept. For as you accept Jesus as separate from you choose to limit yourself to the perception of the first covenant. As you choose to accept Jesus as a symbol of all that is true about you, you choose to rise within yourself, capital S self, to the acceptance of the new covenant. And last time we looked at the first covenant and the new covenant. And it says back here on page 409, it says the new covenant symbolizes advancement from the understanding of sameness to the acceptance of oneness. So that's what's being talked about here. So let's look at it again. The symbol of Jesus is a symbol of everything that is true for you. This is important for you to accept. For as you accept Jesus as separate from you choose to limit yourself to the perception of the first covenant. It's like, okay, Jesus did it, I can do it. Okay, let me gather. Okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And that's the idea of sameness. But this says, as you choose to accept Jesus as a symbol that is, as a symbol of all that is true about you, you choose to rise within yourself to the acceptance of the new covenant, which is life is one. If you're seeing Jesus as a separate person who did this really cool thing, you know, you might, and Jesus and I and you and everybody has that same
potentiality.
Yes, everybody has that same potential. Absolutely. Then that's actually still seeing it from a limited perspective. You're still limiting yourself to, okay, I got the potential. Maybe if I work really hard, if I'm really good, if I have the right thoughts, I can do it.
Jesus was a brave man. I hope I can be that friggin' brave.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, instead of you know, when we're doing that awakening and you're real aware that your body is no different than anything else in the room.
Yeah. Awareness, watching awareness type.
Yes.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for finding the words for me. I wouldn't. But yeah, that life is that oneness.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have anything to do with the body and the stuff.
Yeah, it and it takes it from potentiality to fact.
Good, yes.
this bottom of page 410. The acceptance of the new covenant is the acceptance of new sight, and new sight within the world is the open doorway from the world. For as you see the illusion of separateness as an illusion, you desire no more, you will return your mind to the true heart. And that is the heart of one.
Okay.
Okay. That takes us to, I mean, and I think that just reiterates what we just, where we just arrived.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. NTI, Hebrews chapter 10, this is page 411. The guilt that you feels eternal within your soul, but it is not.
Thank God.
The guilt that you feel rises repeatedly into your awareness for one reason. It rises as a reminder of your desire to heal.
Okay, I like that interpretation.
Woo! Right? That was close.
Yeah.
You mean I'm not really guilty? No. We've been telling you that, but you know, and that's what it's saying. It feels eternal within your soul, you know? I mean, that just
yeah,
goes
it's like
deep.
Something that you just can't shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You have not healed yourself because you do not fully recognize your desire to heal. You remain somewhat distracted by dreams. But your attention is turning from the distraction you have made to the desire for the remembrance of God. Do not worry that your distraction stands before you, glittering and sparkling with desire. Rest the desire that you recognize as dying within you. Focus on the desire that is growing. Yeah, I mean, wow. Isn't that something? Because what we do instead is we use our guilt to keep that alive. I mean, because then we don't want to focus on healing. We don't want to focus on, how to heal the quote unquote heal the believing attention. How to move our focus from one, from our focus on our thoughts to our focus on our truth. We don't want to focus on all that because we feel too daggone guilty. We think that, that we are unworthy, that we'll not be accepted or forgiven. And so, if we focus on our guilt, then what we're continuing to do is to reinforce the old desire, which was a desire for the world, a desire for the glitter, a desire for something different, right? And again, we looked at this week in gentle healing, this desire, excuse me, this guilt supports the idea of separation, supports the I thought, supports the ego thought. So what this is saying is just okay. You recognize this desire in you. There's no reason. Just use it, and then you feel guilty for it. But there's no reason for that. Just use that recognition instead of, to beat yourself up. Use it to wake up by recognizing that the old desire in you for something other than truth is dying. And now focus on the desire that's growing. So it's just a reminder.
That's sweet. That's really gentle and sweet.
And it says, your guilt shall fade with the old desire, which is fading, as your innocence is realized.
Yeah, it would appear that you can't really be innocent and guilty at the same time.
Isn't
Apparently.
That's great. No, I love it. I love it because it's like saying you can't be, I don't know, black and white at the same time. You can't be the sun and the moon at the same time. I don't know. It just sounded funny. It's like, really?
But that's true, right?
Yeah, absolutely, it's true. You can't be both guilty and innocent at the same time. It's impossible. They're antonyms instead of synonyms.
I have to plug my computer in. Hey,
All right.
sorry,
That's
folks.
okay. They're okay. Hey, Cindy. So, here she comes. She's getting plugged in. Got quite a contraption there. Let's see. The guilt that you feels eternal within your soul, but it is not. The guilt that you feel rises repeatedly into your awareness for one reason. It rises as a reminder of your desire to heal. You have not healed yourself because you do not fully recognize your desire to heal. You remain somewhat distracted by dreams, but your attention is turning from the distraction you have made to the desire for the remembrance of God. Do not worry that your distraction stands before you glittering and sparkling with desire. Rest the desire that you recognize as dying within you. Oh, we may have just lost Connie. Let's see. Rest the desire that you recognize as dying within you. Focus on the desire that is growing. Your guilt shall fade with the old desire, which is fading as your innocence is realized. Yeah. So I assume she's going to call me back here in a second. yeah, and she just made an excellent point. You cannot be guilty and innocent at the same time, and that's the point that is being made here, and NTI goes on to make. Guilt is the shadow of illusion, which means guilt is an illusion itself. Guilt is the shadow of illusion, which means guilt is an illusion itself, and of course we just talked about that, and again we're talking about it in general healing this week. It's a supporting thought, right? It keeps you seemingly trapped within the illusion of your separate self. It just reinforces that mistaken thought. Guilt is the shadow of illusion, which means guilt is an illusion itself. For the shadow of what cannot be does not exist. And what does not exist cannot affect the truth of what you are. And we are in the middle of page 411, NTI Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. The one sacrifice that ends... hang on. Hey, Connie.
Just call me technically challenged.
No, you're here. You're back. You're good.
Okay.
We moved on just a little bit. It said guilt is the shadow of illusion, and of course we were talking about how that means it's just a supporting thought, right? It just supports the belief in itself. it just supports the belief in a separate self. And then we moved on to verses 11 through 14. The one sacrifice that ends sin and guilt forever is not a sacrifice at all. It is but a remembrance and acceptance of all that has always been true. It is the release of what isn't and the reacceptance of what is. It is a return to the realization of the truth of what you are.
I don't know what that paragraph talking about at all.
Oh, well, it's talking about, you see it as a sacrifice, this having to give the self up like Jesus did, right?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a sacrifice because what it actually is what you're giving up is the block to your ability to see the truth of what you are.
Right. Okay. I get it now. Thanks.
Cool. You're welcome. And verses 15 through 18, the Holy Spirit testifies to this because the Holy Spirit is your remembrance of this. And how cool is that? You know, because we talk about inner wisdom, we talk about Holy Spirit, and for how many years do we go, you know, Holy Spirit, that separate entity that sometimes, if I'm lucky, comes into my mind and straightens me out?
And we're just now figuring out really is you.
It really is us, right? In fact,
right.
It's the remembrance of the truth of who you are. It's not a separate
right.
entity.
Right. Yeah, and I've heard it explained that's the way the Course had to teach it. Because otherwise you wouldn't have accepted that in the beginning.
Yeah, you would have gone, oh yeah, right, I'm perfect. And put the book down and then gone done something, you know, had a beer,
yeah.
Watch a movie, yeah. Okay, so the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of what you are because the Holy Spirit is your remembrance of this. Within the Holy Spirit, there is no sin. Within the Holy Spirit, there could be no sacrifice. Within the Holy Spirit, there is only the reflection of your truth glistening upon the canvas of time.
Well.
The practice of remembrance is the practice of awakening. That's powerful. The practice of remembrance is the practice of awakening.
How do you practice remembering?
Well, you remove your believing attention, you remove your focus from, from the mental chatter, from the stories, from the belief that, what's important is the body, mind, personality, that I get treated right, that nobody miss, that I got to protect myself. By removing your believing attention from all of those things that we have thought in the past, all of those things that we're told all day long, every day, by the thinking mind, by the mental chatter, by removing your believing attention from them, and when you do that, you are able to rest in the stillness. And we practice stillness by practicing meditation. That's the kindergarten for stillness, right? If I can sit down for 20 minutes a day and let those thoughts go by without going, oh, I want to think about you, right? Oh, there's went one I'm about. That is the practice of removing the believing attention from the mental chatter. So we
Yeah, I
practice.
sent you calling that kindergartners.
I'm sorry. So we practice in our little kindergarten meditation, right? And then we take that out into every aspect of our lives.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So when
Yeah, so
guilt.
it's really the giving up of that individual personality self.
Yeah. And it is. And we do that by giving up the stories around it, the mental chatter around it that creates it. Like you and I've said so many times, every thought constructs or maintains the I thought.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. So, and yeah, so, and what we do have within us, our inner wisdom, is the remembrance that none of that is true, is the remembrance of our truth. So, the practice of remembrance is the practice of awakening. Return your mind to the true desire of the heart and the work that lies within. And again, one of the points that was made in General Healing this week is the fact that when you in meditation and in daily life, when you recognize that you're listening to that you've gotten caught up in the mental chatter, that you're listening to the stories, all that's required is you to remind yourself what you want. What is my true desire? And by doing that, that is the turning of your attention, right? That is the remembrance of your truth. That is the practice of remembrance, right? Because,
Right, you don't have to badger yourself or just have to remind yourself that you're not presently practicing that and go back to practicing that.
well, and it naturally takes you back to practicing it. Yeah,
Right.
it naturally takes you back to the stillness. So the practice of remembrance
Great point.
is the practice of awakening. Return your mind to the true desire of the heart and the work that lies within. With your purpose as your guide, let go of dreams willingly. Focus daily, within every moment, on true prayer, which is the prayer of the heart. God is love. God is love. This is the truth that is known within your heart because it has been written there. Know this truth by sinking within your mind to the heart. Rest within your heart. Here your true desire is known. Because here the truth of God is known. Then rise up and practice in joy. The truth is true and it remains as always true. You are as you have always been. Love leads you always, even unto the remembrance of yourself. Capital S self. This is verses 32 through 38. You are the leader of your own awakening, and you lead yourself in love. This love is not limited to the seeming individual self and a heart that is trapped within a body. This love is the great love of a true self, which is awakening with a great joy to the awareness and realization it had lost. Your awakening is a great awakening, powered by the love of one Holy Spirit. You know, it's really funny too, because along with that idea that the Holy Spirit's this entity that comes in, you know, either we all got to share him, or we each get our own individual little Holy Spirit. I don't know, Holy Spirit may be busy with Connie now. I better not ask.
that's pretty funny.
But it's the awakening of one mind unto the truth of itself. Your awakening is a great awakening powered by the love of one Holy Spirit. Look at your brother and rejoice. He is one with you. His Holy Spirit is one with your Holy Spirit. It is this Holy Spirit that leads you. The universe has come to answer your call for awakening, because the universe is one mind with you. Your true desire is the one true desire of it all.
That's pretty powerful shit.
It is. It is. It is. And you can see that how we bring all our notions of separation and even into our spiritual journey, you know, just how deeply embedded these ideas are, you know. First, Holy Spirit's a separate entity, and then, okay, maybe, you know, then we got to share him, everybody's got to share him, you know, and okay, the universe, this separate thing is going to come to, okay, I believe the universe loves me. No, the universe is me, you know? So you can see how we have to just keep drilling down, because these ideas of separation from each other and from everything are so deeply embedded in our way of thinking.
They're so deeply embedded, and they're so subtle. And they're so practiced and lived. You know, you're in your you're thinking, oh my God, Jacqueline's getting this, and I'm not.
Yeah,
but that's impossible,
right? And we do that every day.
I know.
Yeah, and there's
well,
the
thank
gratitude.
You for getting it.
Yeah. Thank you for getting it. There's real gratitude there. You can see that. I mean, that's what this is saying. Look at your brother and rejoice.
Yeah.
She's one with you.
Yeah.
We're getting it.
Yeah. Yay.
It's being gotten.
Experience. Yay.
Yay. So, again, the universe has come to answer your call for awakening, because the universe is one mind with you. Your true desire is the one true desire of it all. Rest the awareness of dreams. Rest the awareness of dreams. Remove your attention from all that stuff that tells you you're separate. Rest the awareness of dreams. Sink into the desire of the heart. Join with your self. And it is your truth that is realized and remembered.
Join with the self. yourself.
You can't make me. You can't make me.
I know. It seems like how do I join with myself?
How can you possibly imagine that you're not joined with yourself, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
that's.
how? But that's at the same time I'm talking out the other side of my mouth. How do I join with myself?
Yeah, it's funny. By the way, Cindy says it really comes down to removing your attention from separation, whatever that may be. Yeah, to quit believing the.
Yeah, and
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's that individual thinking I'm in this individual that's leading a separate life.
Yeah, and we're going to look at that some more here in a bit in general healing. But I would let me go to there's a poem section we were to read for tonight, and here it is. this is at the end of Revelation chapter 18 on page 484. It says, In an instant shall this song be sung. Illusion is gone, never to be seen again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters, is all these ears can know. No more work or struggle to see what isn't there. Only laughter and joy can be known now. The light of the world shines within my mind. Our oneness is all that I see. Only oneness is reflected in me. And the reason that I turn to that is this line four: no more work or struggle to see what isn't there. So the truth of it is that this having to constantly tell myself that I'm separate. Oh yeah, you know you're separate. Let me remind you, you're separate. You're unworthy. You're separate. You're separate. You're separate. You're separate. All day long. That's what this mental chatter is doing. And we're going, what? Tell me more, right? But it's saying,
Yeah.
without that constant maintenance of the belief in a separate self, that separate self ceases to be. That's where the work and the struggle really
Yeah, you ain't me.
is. That's right. That's right. You ain't me. I can hear you. So, rest the awareness of dreams. Sink into the desire of the heart. Join with yourself, and it is your truth that is realized and remembered. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hello.
Well, that's some pretty powerful stuff. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You remember Ron from Italy?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ron.
All right. We are on page 412 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. We are beginning NTI Hebrews chapter 11. Ron said hello again. And Mark says, hi, Ron. okay, NTI Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is driven by desire and powered by belief, what you accept as true. One may say he has faith, but if he does not accept as true, his faith has no meaning at all. The idea of faith may be placed with one thought, while the power of faith is given to another. It is time for you to look honestly at where you place your faith. Yeah, I love all my brothers equally. I know all our goals are the same. We have no separate. It get out of the way, God. I'm trying to get to work.
Ha ha ha.
So,
And
yeah.
then you have to read this last thing we just did on guilt again.
Right. No, but that's I'm sorry, that's the example that came to mind, but that's what we do. Or yes, I believe that the universe has my best interest at heart, and that that I'm not a body, that I can't be her. Oh, let me go to my thinking mind. What do you think I should say back to her about that nasty thing she said to me? Or what do you think I ought to do about this financial problem, thinking mind? Really, the idea of faith, it's sweet, but but we really, it calls for radical self-honesty. Where am I placing my faith? Am I afraid to give up the counsel of the thinking mind? Peace, we're riding on a freeway of exception, Cindy says. Yeah, so it just calls for radical self-honesty, and then you really do have to go back and read the paragraph on guilt. Because your old desire was to experience yourself as something that you weren't. I mean, tiny man idea, express it how you will, right? To experience whatever this illusion has to offer, to get yours before somebody else gets theirs, right? But the guilt is just, yeah. The guilt is just a reminder, though, right? To go, oh, that's right. I don't want to follow that desire anymore. It says, let's see. Do not worry that your distraction stands before you, glittering and sparkling with desire. This is from page 411, third paragraph. Rest the desire that you recognize as dying within you. Focus on the desire that is growing. Don't use your guilt to keep you stuck in the old stuff. Focus on the desire that is growing. Your guilt shall fade with the old desire, which is fading as your innocence is realized. It's symbiotic, right? The guilt and that desire to be separate feed on each other. Cindy says, oh, first of all, Ron says, many times it takes courage to act on your faith. Amen. And Cindy says, faith will give the courage to act on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all this is saying is it's time for some radical self-honesty. Back on page 412, the idea of faith may be placed with one thought, while the power of faith is given to another. It is time for you to look honestly at where you place your faith. It is by faith that the universe was formed, and it is by faith that its seeming form is maintained today. This is the power of your faith. Because you see exactly as you see, you can see also where it is that you place your faith. So funny how this is, truth is true, but how this is paralleling what we're looking at in general healing tonight, because we talked, one of the tips was about the world is a reflection of my mind, or a reflection of my belief, right? It's a reflection of the world is a reflection of the mind. It's where are you placing your believing attention? And then, again, back to that perceptual loop. And once you have the experience, how are you interpreting it? Right? Yes?
So what you're saying is that we're giving meaning to the meaningless.
We're giving meaning to the meaningless. The meaningless was created and continues to be created, the seeming world, based on this idea of separation, on this idea that there's an I and a you and a me and a they. Separate people with separate interests, you know, all that stuff the course taught us about for years, right?
Right.
And that's where we place our faith, out of habit, out of fear, out of guilt. And these new ideas, the remembrance of our truth, is where we're being asked to place our focus now. Our focus and our faith. It is by faith that the universe was formed, and it is by faith that its seeming form is maintained today. This is the power of your faith. Because you see the results of that in the world around you, you see how you see. You know, you see separate people, you see separate interests, you see, you know, you get angry when so and so says this. You know what you're experiencing, and because you're able to see that, you can see where it is you're placing your faith.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So your experience is showing you where you're placing your faith.
Yes. It is through faith that your perception of the world changes. This is the first step in letting go of dreams. For as you place your faith in that which is not seen, that which is seen changes to show you where you have put your faith. And again, this doesn't mean that the world suddenly turns to peaches and cream, right? Everything's going to go my way. No. But you see where you get the stabs of, oh, can't believe she said that to me again, or you know, whatever the example is, right? You know, how do I react to what I seem to be experiencing? Am I stuck in that perceptual loop? Am I continuing to believe that this means that we do have separate interests, that I am a, you know, or am I placing my faith in the unseen? Am I placing my faith within the truth that I know in my heart? That although it appears that we're separate, we're not. Go ahead.
Everything is about my spiritual involvement. I'll let it be. Actually, even if I don't let it be, it is.
Even if you don't let it. Cindy says, it makes me think of that Bob Dylan song, "You Gotta Serve Someone." That's right. Where do I place my faith? And that's what Regina talked about, you know, this past Sunday. In the weekly gathering, you know, and A Course in Miracles talks about it. You know, you can be a host to God or hostage to the ego. You know, where am I placing my faith?
Sweet.
Hey, Shauna. All right. Oh, guess what? We're out of time. So we want to thank you guys for being with us, and giving us an opportunity to teach what we would learn or learn what we would teach. And we love you, and we'll see you next let's see what is. Yeah, oops, hello. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
Yeah, thanks everybody for doing this. We'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.